So, the theme of this week is rekindling the passion in your job or your relationships or your life in general. And I think a lot of us, when we have a problem in our life, we don't even think we could fix it, so we don't try. You know what I mean? Like, we have, our relationship starts to get a little stale or boring. I have a thing about boring. Like, I'd rather be in pain than be bored, you know? Boring is the worst thing for me, you know? Worse than anything. I'd rather have problems than be bored, you know? So, if you find that you're bored with your work, or you're bored with your relationship, or you're bored with your whole life, then I think oftentimes many of us feel that we can't change it. You know, we just kind of get used to it, like some kind of little problem in our body. We just think, oh, I have to get used to that. You know, that's the way it's going to be. And so the first thing I would encourage you to do is, in this system, according to what we're teaching, in this system, you know, if you want to talk in terms of yesterday, highest Madhyamika school, right? All things can be changed. And that's the point of being here. You know, all things can be changed. Your physical appearance can be changed. You know, your relationship, your partner, everything about your partner can be adjusted and changed. And everything about your work life can be changed. Your income can be changed. You know, your amount of happiness can be changed. You can go back to the... I woke up at Mrs. Hancock's a couple of days ago, you know, she lives in Scottsdale, in the border of Scottsdale. She can say her address is in Scottsdale, but it's not really. And I woke up and I smelled the air, and when I... It struck me, my 16-year-old time, you know when you're like 16 or 17 and everything is vivid and smells are intense and your favorite songs are from that time. It's not because the music was better, it's because your senses were at their peak, you know. And then your, you know, your first high school love was in the most intense because, not because they were intense, but because your physical and mental capacities were at their peak, you know, and you were, life was vivid. Also the bad things, you know, like the bully in high school who used to punch me in the back in the gym, you know, like that's also very vivid, you know. So then we feel like, I mean, I woke up and I smelled the air. And I got a hit, you know, like, I smelled it like I smelled it when I was 17 or something, you know, and it was really intense and beautiful, you know, and there's a mix of pollen in Phoenix, which is unique. It's a lot of orange blossoms and grapefruit blossoms and oleander, and, you know, and if you palm, date palms, and if you grew up with it, it strikes you. And if you didn't, you don't notice it. You just think it's hot. So, but for me, just that fragrance is like, I would do anything to be here, to have that, to wake up to that fragrance of the city. It's weird to think that a city would have a fragrance, right? So, every place, like even like Phoenix, it could be, rather than being hot, congested, and polluted, if your seeds were different, then it would strike you as a very tantalizing thing. I think tantalizing is a good word for 17 years old. Everything is tantalizing, you know? And so what I'm trying to say is, this week, a lot of the My goal this week, what I would like to happen this week, is first of all that you get the feeling that you could go back to the tantalizing years when everything was exciting and bright and interesting. That you can, there's no reason why you can't be like that now at whatever age you are. And it's an interesting process, because once you start the process, it's like a big circle. You're coming back to what you used to be. And you are controlling the process. So that's cool. Right? And we gave the example of roses, growing roses, and rather than hoping they come out okay, I mean, when I first planted the sticks, they're called sticks, I guess. What are they called? There's a technical word, I don't know, anyway.
Barret.
Huh?
Barret.
Say again?
Barret.
Yeah, bare roots. They call them bare roots. Yeah. You buy a bare root, and it's just, it has no leaves. It's just a stick. And then I put it in the ground, and I didn't know what to do, and they were, one of them died, and the rest were all not doing so well. And then I got this, Jingmei gave me a rose, Tucson Rose Society manual. And all those people are really fanatical. And there were all these weird advices, like somebody said the real trick to growing roses is that they're like children and they thrive on attention. And it doesn't matter what you do as long as you touch them once every day, something like that. So people like that. And then I got that book and I kept it in my reading room. The only place I get to relax. Okay, anyway. I have a big shelf there and full of stuff to read. So I read it on the pot, and then it had all these cool ideas, and I tried them. And then I told you, like the roses. The cool thing is the rose broke into the house and made a bouquet, a spray of roses in the house. It's really cool, and. You can do the same with your life, okay? You can, there are four steps that you can take to go back to the tantalizing years of your life, okay? And so we're gonna, and then we're studying four meditations that fit into those four steps to bring back the tantalizing time of your life. I'm not really, I haven't completed the return to 17, but it's happening pretty well, and I really like it, and you can do it, okay? It's really fun. Like I used to play a lot of music when I was 17 and other things, and it's really nice to know that you are controlling the process. That's what I'm trying to say. You see, it's not random anymore. You can design your return to 17 and by taking these four steps, okay? And then the four meditations we've been doing, you didn't get to the fourth one yet, they fit into those four steps. So I'm gonna go back to the four steps, okay? And then we'll go through the meditations. Rebecca did number three yesterday. I watched you online. Scott sent me the email. Thank you, Scott, it's a good job. It's a very nice, that's a beautiful thing you're doing. It's a beautiful job. Nimbo and Scott worked on everything. So anyway, she taught the third meditation. So I'm going to talk about the four steps, okay? Step number one, as we said, in this system, everything is about planting seeds. That's why it's difficult. If a guy from Guadalajara tells you, please answer a question without mentioning seeds. Everything is seeds. So you can do anything if you understand how to plant a seed. You can do anything you want. You can have anything happen in your life that you want. And of course, all of the things we talk about happening in your life are ultimately aimed at you helping the world to change, right? And you becoming the kid in Transformers, right? We talk about many goals, but ultimately they all, if you learn to go back to 17, then you can learn to save the world. That's the bottom line, right? So learn the process for one thing and then apply it to everything. Okay? So we're going to explain the process in terms of returning to 17. Assuming that was a good time for you, okay? I mean, there were the pimples, but... I remember thinking, I'd do anything not to have pimples. Like, that's the worst thing in the world. Now I'm like, I'd do anything to have hair. I wouldn't even have pimples. But anyway, you can... Whatever system you use to get to 17... You can use, you just learn a certain methodology and then you can use it for anything, okay? So I'm going to review that methodology. Again, it's from the Abhidharma Kosha. The Abhidharma Kosha is really just the first attempt to comment on the Buddha's teachings. It's the first attempt to take thousands of teachings by Lord Buddha and sort of organize it in a way that people could practice. So it was a pioneering thing, you know? And it has a beautiful presentation of Lekhi Lam. So Lekhi Lam means a path of karma. And it's just distinguished from karma. So Le is not the same as Lekhi Lam. Okay? Le means to make a karma. And then Lekhi Lam means to make one completely or fully. So they call it a path of karma. But the meaning is that you plant a karma which is full and robust and which will do what you want. You see what I mean? So you can make, you're always making karma and you're making a lot of incomplete or half-assed karmas. And then Lekhi Lam is a total karma and all the things that are needed to produce the result you want. So we're interested in Lekhi Lam. We would like to know about Lekhi Lam. We're always making karma, but we're not always making complete karma. Okay. Karmas, any karma will have an effect, but it will be partial, or it will be small, or it will be a little random. Okay, and a Lekhi Lam can be targeted, you see, and it will be as big as you want it to be. And so you need Lekhi Lam if you're going to design changes in your life. If you want certain things in your life, you have to know about Lekhi Lam. So Lekhi Lam has four steps. Say she. Samba, Jorwa, Tartuk. And the DCI people heard it 100 times because we teach it to everybody on the tours. Right? So she means foundation. And if you know Tibetan, I mean, she with a different spelling means number four. So probably it's related to the foundation work, the four corners. Okay. I think in Chinese it's also. Su. In Chinese, su. Yeah. Yeah, so it sounds, I mean, the word for four, they're related, it seems like. Anyway. So, foundation means we said that you need to plant your karma seeds in somebody else, okay? And I gave the example of, in my head, these puppet masters, where these aliens sneak up on people in their beds and make an incision in their backs and insert a worm, okay? And then that would take over their body. You gotta read that book. Robert Heinlein. It's in a book with a thing called Waldo, which is about a guy who's a cripple and becomes a ballet dancer. I like that. Through certain amazing methods. So anyway, you need a place to plant your seeds. You need fertile ground to plant your seeds. It has to be another person. You cannot plant a seed without another person. So she means what kinds of people are the best places to plant your seeds. Okay? There are better people to plant your seeds in and there's worse people to plant your seeds in. And then there are basically three guidelines about looking for a person to plant your seeds in. In this week, the theme is going back to 17, right? Or whatever year was best for you. Bringing back the excitement, the fragrance in your life. I don't think fragrance is not even the best word. There's only a few smells that are as good to me as that. my coffee. But anyway, basically, in the context of bringing back the interest in your life and the excitement in your life, there are three kinds of she. There are three examples of she. Okay, good people to plant your seeds in. First one is anyone who has helped you in your life. Okay, anyone who has been a great help in your life, and then of course your parents are paramount there, and among them your mother more. Okay, so whatever your relationship with your parents, a lot of people don't have a great relationship with their parents. It doesn't matter. Any karma you do towards them will come back faster. Very powerful. Okay. And that extends to anyone else who's helped you in your life. So I enjoy looking at my old college professors. You know, I used to take care of my Sanskrit professor in the nursing home. He was 90 in Pasadena. And he was mumbling Tocharian in Sanskrit and Latin and Greek to the nurses. And, you know, he's like, I need water in three ancient languages. He was all confused, you know. I think I'm going to be like that, you know. And he's ordering water in Tocharian. Look up your old professors and help them. You know, people who taught you in your life. There are business mentors or career mentors that you have. I still write my two bosses in the Diamond Company an email on May 1st, which is the day I was hired in 1981. And every year I write them, and if I'm near them, I take them out to dinner within a few months of that, you know. And it's a very heavy karma, very powerful karma, okay? So any mentors or teachers or helpers? I suppose that extends to ex-spouses and ex-girlfriends and stuff, but that's difficult. Okay. Then the second type of person would be somebody having a real bad emergency. Okay. Somebody who really needs help. And then they always say in the scripture, and they don't have anyone else to turn to. Okay. Like someone who's in having a rough time and doesn't have anyone else to turn to. In our present context, you see, you have to thematize it. You have to stick to the theme. You're looking for someone who's having a crisis about their career or their life path, the direction of their life, right? So, for example, you know someone, there's so many people now who just got laid off. You know, when you drive through Phoenix, you know it's the only construction going on in Phoenix? You know, there's, I believe, over 65% of all office buildings are empty. There's no need for them, especially with the economy and with the internet. They have killed the idea of an office building, right? But there's still construction going on at the colleges and the universities. Why? Because people lost their work. They lost their job, and their career has been... what they used to know how to do is no longer necessary. Or it's not as necessary. So then they have to find new work. A lot of it's shifting to the internet, right? Mm-hmm. So we all know people who've been affected, right? And then they are looking for a new thing to do in their life. You know, like I have friends who we'll meet in Pennsylvania, right? He owned a tile company for, I don't know, 10, 15, 20 years. And then he just passed his nurse exams. And he's 50-something, I think. And we all know people like that. And they need to make a change in their life. They have to find a new career. So then you Starbuck them. Okay? You have to Starbuck them. Really, okay? I like the Starbuck thing because it's so clear. You know, like anyone who's been in this course this week, who comes back to you whining 2 months from now, all you have to do is say, did you go to Starbucks? Did you take someone to Starbucks? It's so clear and it's so defined, right? And they'll say, I didn't have time, or I already helped people, I didn't think it was necessary. And then you can just blow them off. You know, you can say, you know, Geshe-la said, if you don't take somebody to Starbucks, he's not going to talk to you. You know, and, or he's not going to listen to your problems. You know, so that's a very, okay, I'm serious about that. Okay, take somebody, listen. Just listen to their problems. You don't have to solve them. Okay, but especially someone who is having a crisis, okay, in their life. And there's a lot of people right now who don't know what to do next. Okay, I kind of have those three categories in there. Inside there, I'm a glupa, right? So there's four, then there's three, and inside the second, there's three. The three, I would say, is people just coming into the workforce or just graduating from college or school. Their schooling is finishing now. Maybe they've retrained themselves, but they're now they got to start looking for a job. Or they just left Dunham. And they have to find a life. You know, so... you know, then those people are, those are one kind of people. Then the second kind of people are people who lost their job, or they're making a midlife change. And I think the third kind of people are, there's a whole class of people nowadays, the population is aging, and there's a whole class of people whose children grew up. You're going to hit it soon, you know. It's like it hits you like a shock. Like it's, they hit 20 or they hit 22 and then suddenly they're gone. And then all that money you were spending, all that time you were spending, all that love you were giving, you know, and the extra room in the house are all empty. And then there's a vacuum in all of those places now. And then those kind of people go through crises. They need something to fill that vacuum. So those are three examples of people you can pick who are having an emergency. All right. Now back to step 1.3. Somebody who's helping many other people. Okay? Like somebody who's helping many other people. So that's a little bit weird. You'd have to find someone. I can think of a physician, like I have a dentist friend, okay? And he's really good. He did the diamond here 20 years ago, and it still works great, you know. And he's getting on, you know. He's younger than me, but he's, I don't know. He's getting on, and he has a weird problem in his life, which is that he's such a good dentist that people don't need him after a while. You see? And we go out, I met him, I saw him the other day at lunch, and he's like, I got this problem. I'm like, what? He says, I fixed their teeth so good, it lasts for 20 years, and then they don't have to come back. And I don't have any patients, you know, and I got to go find new patients. You know? And so somebody who's helping many other people, who's having a little life crisis like that. So, you know, actually, it's weird to take your dentist out, right? But, you know, to listen, you know, just listen and listen to. And I took him Jigme, and I took him Mercedes, I took him Nyugmo, and he's happy. So like that. Someone who's helping a lot of other people, like a physician or a teacher. A teacher is having a personal crisis about their identity or their what they should teach or where they should teach or what to do. Okay. When I say help, I just mean, just sit down with them and listen. You know, you don't have to solve all their problems, right? You probably can, right? Ultimately, what's the best way to help them? What's the best advice to give?
Teach them.
Explain what I'm talking about right now. Okay, just give them this talk as appropriate. You know, you can't sit down at your dentist and say, Lord Buddha, you know, Vasubandhu, you know. You don't have to mention all this stuff, okay? So that's step number one. Step number two, Samba, right, is try to grasp this, okay? At step number three, you actually commit the karma, the expression of the karma. At step number three, you take them to Starbucks, okay? Step number one is the selection of the person that you're going to help, okay? step number three is taking them to Starbucks. But taking them to Starbucks only lasts for a half hour or 45 minutes or something, right? Unless they're really talkative. So there's only so many karmic seeds you can plant at Starbucks, all right? The actual commission of the karma doesn't take that long. So this is my big, secret that I'm telling you, okay? It's at step two and step four that you collect most of the seeds. Step two is planning the session in Starbucks. You know, what are you going to do in Starbucks? What's your plan of attack? You know, how are you going to help them? What are you going to say? What are you going to talk about? You know, what do they need? You know, so you have to fantasize. I like the word fantasize. You have to fantasize about what their needs are and how you're going to help them before you go to Starbucks. And that's in a meditation. That's done in a meditation. Okay? Meditation is done at the core of the mind, right? Meditation is undertaken at the core of the mind, very close to the place where the seeds are stored. Okay? So it's one thing to go to Starbucks, you gotta get up, go get them the drink that they want. You know, you have to stir in the right amount of sweetener that they prefer. You have to learn all these things, right? And then you come back. And that's a lot of trouble to plant a few seeds, right? Meditating about what you're going to do with them, fantasizing. You're very close to the storehouse of the karma. It's like a core of the mind. And then you're just like tossing seeds into the core of the mind. Right there. You're at the core of the mind. You're sitting outside the core of the mind, tossing seeds in as you meditate. It's a lot easier than getting up and getting a drink and, you know, stirring the sweetener in. Okay? It's much more powerful. What I'm trying to say is that if you know what you're doing, you can collect more power to achieve your goal in meditation before and after you help the person than while you're helping the person. It's very interesting, okay? And that's the parallel to the rose metaphor of knowing about Epsom salts and coffee grounds and alfalfa pellets and systemic fertilizer. You know, okay? Like that. It's one thing to stick a bare roots in the ground. Okay, that's one thing. To stick bare roots in the ground is one thing. That's like going to Starbucks. Okay? But it's the other stuff you do that's going to make it happen. Okay? It's the fertilizer and the watering, how you water them, when you water them, or what kind of stuff you put on them, right? How well you protect them from the deer. This neighbor walked by and said, "Oh, you got a nice rose garden there." And I'm like, "Hey," he's like, "You know, you're feeding all the deer in the neighborhood." Yeah. So you have to protect them also, right? Protect the seeds. So that all happens in meditation. Okay, those things happen in meditation. And most people don't know about those meditations. So I want you to learn those meditations and then apply them to whatever you're doing, and the seeds will grow faster. And you can make things happen in your life that you want. People sell, you know, at this point, you could say it sounds a little self-serving, you know. You're taking someone to Starbucks so that you can go back to 17. You're going to ride them to 17. What about them, you know? I mean, are you concerned about their welfare? Or are you doing this just because you want to get back to Jimi Hendrix, you know? During step three, which we'll do tomorrow, okay, not tomorrow, but when we get to step three, we'll talk about that, okay? Step three, which is Starbucks, at Starbucks, it doesn't work so well unless you're doing it for really compassionate reasons, okay? So there is a compassion factor. Okay. If you're doing it only to get back to 17, it won't work so well. The growth won't grow so well. So we'll get to that in step three. Right? There's a mechanism in this process, Lekilon, that requires that you have a higher motivation, or the whole thing doesn't work. Okay, very well. It'll work. Do you remember at the opening lines of Brahmajigan back in 2003? I don't remember when it was, but they discussed, will a karma have an effect if it's done for selfish reasons? And the answer was, it will. You can't stop a karma. You know, for whatever reason you plant a seed, a result will come, but not a very good one, and possibly twisted. Okay? Possibly a twisted result. Okay? So we have to talk about that. There are higher motivation is required. Okay? But we'll get there in step three. Okay, so we're going to do three meditations today. Two are warm-ups. And I think, as with any meditation, or as with yoga, the warm-up is really crucial, right? Like, you can ruin your shoulder for almost a year if you don't warm up properly. And, you know, it's the same as meditation. You have to do warm-ups properly. And then we'll get to today's main meditation, which is step two. Okay. Are you warm enough? Is it too cold? You okay? It is cold? You want to figure out, is there any way to adjust it? Or
not quickly.
Would it help to open the door?
No.
Okay. Alright, well, just put on a... Anybody need a shawl or a sweater? Does anybody need a sweater or a shawl? We have some extra ones. We have extras up here. For free. It's easy to catch a cold when you meditate. If the air is blowing on you or something, so put something on. Okay, sit up straight. We're going to do the... We're now going through the first three of the four meditations for bringing the passion back in your life. The interest back. Place your hands. You can do chin mudra on your knees, or you can do left hand down first, right hand down on top of it, in the middle. Touch the thumbs. When you touch the thumbs, you might play around with not quite touching them, keeping them extremely close to one another, but not touching. And you can, sometimes you can feel prana jumping across like a spark plug. Relax your forehead. Try to get in touch with the muscles of your forehead. Your forehead has a lot of muscles. Relax them. Botox them. Find the muscles at the corners of your mouth and relax those. Might want to stretch them out. Relax your eyelids. When you do a forward bend, Uttanasana in yoga, there's this big thing about letting your head go and relaxing your head. When you're meditating, let your eyelids go. Don't hold them up. No tension in the muscles of your eyelids. That's a really big secret weapon when you're meditating. Bring in your tummy just a little bit. Don't go crazy, but tighten it slightly, which will relax. That automatically relaxes the muscles of the lower back. Decide you won't move. Decide you won't make any noise. You won't fidget. See if you can relax a little bit. Sometimes when we meditate, when we come into a meditation, we're all gung-ho. See if you can kind of relax down a little bit. Just decide you're going to be here for a while. You might play with your chest, bring it forward or let it go back. See if you can hit a point of balance on your spine. Relax the muscles of your fingers and hands. And then slowly start to come to your breath. The exhale is the first half of the breath. The inhale is the second half of the breath. Keep your mind not on the whole breath, but on the tip of your nose, the opening of the nostrils, like a guard at a booth in a parking lot, watching the cars come and go. Whether you're doing chin mudra or your hands in the lap, separate your thumbs very slightly. Keep a small space between them. Tiny space. And slowly start to count your breath. The out breath is one, first half. The in breath is the second half. now, please try to count to 10 breaths without thinking of something else. If you think of something else, start over again. Have one. And be brutally honest with yourself. It doesn't matter. It's probably more honest to say we can't get to 2 or 3. Please separate a little piece of your mind back from the main mind. Step back, let a small piece of your mind step back from the main mind. And with that small piece of your mind, watch the main mind. Just watch the thoughts without being in the thoughts. Watch your own mind thinking its thoughts. Don't try to control the thoughts, just watch. What are the issues for your mind today? What are the themes that your mind is on today? unpleasant small wall at your forehead, transparent brick wall, and stop any thoughts about the future, not allowed to think about anything that's going to happen after you meditate. Try not to move. Place a wall behind your head, behind your skull, transparent wall. That wall blocks any thoughts of the past. No thoughts about anything that happened before you came into this room. Try to get in touch with a feeling of contentment or being relaxed, surrendering into this place and this time with these friends. And that's all we need right now. We don't need to worry about what happened before or try to guess what will happen later. Just be here. And be happy to be here. slowly come back to your breath. And then slowly open your eyes and stretch. Fidget. Super fidget. Sessions short, okay, and then do like four or five if you want, but keep them short, keep them 10 to 15 minutes, and then stretch between. If you make them longer, you'll get into bad habits that are almost impossible to break later. You'll get used to sitting and thinking about lunch, and it's a very bad habit to break, or thinking about your work, or, you know, things you're supposed to tell people. And then that becomes your meditation, and you can do that for years and years, and you won't improve, your meditation won't improve. But if you just break it up into small chunks, you can still sit for an hour, but break it up into small chunks. You can do emails between, no, not really. Check your iTunes for the best song. Has changed. Well, it was a bad song this week. I don't know if it's conscious or unconscious, but I always cut into my own yoga time. All right. Ready? We'll go back one more time. We're going to do meditation number 3. We finished the first two, which are Ujjamukh, watching your breath, and Jesamicha Dumisu, which means present moment. Not staying past or future. And now we're going to do Tonglen. So everybody, I don't like to call it Tonglen because everybody says, I know Tonglen. But learn to do applied Dhamma. There's a reason why we call ACI course number 3 applied meditation. Okay. So learn to apply the Dhamma to your current challenge in your mind. Okay. So we want passion. We want to go back to age 17. That kind of energy and that kind of awareness or brightness or vividness of your world and your life and excitement. So learn to use Tonglen selectively. Okay. So I would like to bring some excitement into my life. I need to plant a seed for it. To plant the seed for it, I need to identify a person that I can help. Okay. So we're going to use Tonglen to identify. Go through your friends, go through your family. We're looking for someone who's having one of those life crises, right? They're changing their job. My editor, I've known him for 13 years now, who helped me write The Diamond Cutter, and the guy, he got fired this week. You know, he did Mother Teresa's book, he did the Pope's book. They don't have any work, you know, because anyone can write a book, put it on Amazon, they don't need any work. So, now I can find, you have somebody like that in your life, they're going through a big change in their life. So then, help them, okay? We're going to do Dhamman, and we're going to fantasize about helping someone who's having a problem in their life with regard to their career or the direction of their life. Could be a relationship change, okay? Someone who's looking for a new direction. They have they've lost some part of their direction. Okay, here we go, ready? try that thing. It's fun to play with. Thumbs are just brushing or not quite brushing. Or when you do chin mudra, the first finger and the thumb are just almost touching but not quite. And see, there's a nice effect. It helps your concentration somehow. Okay, here we go. Please come to your breath. Decide that you're not going to move. No more fidgeting. I gave you fidgeting time. Now that's over. Come to your breath, please. Try to count 10 breaths. And please, picture a place that you like to hang out. It could be a Starbucks, it could be a Paradise Cafe, some place you like to go when you want to talk to somebody. Near your home, your own home, in your own place. And see yourself entering that Starbucks with a friend. So like your mind is already in the Starbucks, but you're watching the door and you're coming in the door and you're with a friend who has some issue with not knowing the direction they want to take in their life or their relationship. You are walking with them into the, you can see yourself walking into the Starbucks or wherever. You sit down at a table. decide what you'd like to drink or eat and what have you. I think it should be you. You get up and order them and bring them back to the table. And you pay also. When you sit down and you ask your friend about their situation, and I would like you to, you already have a specific friend in mind, right? It's not just a generic friend. It's someone you really know who needs some help in their relationship or their career direction. You ask them to, what's their issue? What problems do they have? Do they want to talk about it? And I want you to picture or guess very clearly what they might say today if you took them out today, based on what you know about their problem. Now, we may not be right. We may be a little wrong, or we might be completely off. What do you guess they're going to say if they open up their heart and they start talking? What do you guess they're going to say? The mind doesn't, most of us, we're not that interested in other people's problems. We're mostly interested in our own. So when we try to think about what someone might, how they might express their problems, sometimes we feel impatient or the mind easily goes to something that's more interesting for us. So force the mind back to try to guess what the person might say about their own problems. And keep forcing the mind back. The mind doesn't want to listen to other people's problems. Try to make a little list of issues that this person has. There's probably one main issue and maybe 10 contributing problems. Health issue, money problems. No, don't. We just did let. You were taking the problems from them by listening. Now, make suggestions. Try to guess what kind of suggestions you might make to this specific friend that you're thinking of. And some of the suggestions will be, frankly, self-existent solutions, right? because they're not ready to hear about seeds probably. But that's okay. At the beginning, you might have to take even a Madhyamika person to the Mainomi school. So make some lower suggestions, lower emptiness suggestions, and then imagine how you might work up to seeds. So that's the tone part, that's giving them something. I'd like you to finish by imagining how the conversation wraps up. The drinks are finished. You stand up. You're just like closer to them than you were before. You watch yourself walking out of the Starbucks, getting into your car. Imagine them in their car driving home. At least they have this comfort that someone will listen to them. And then come back to your breath. And then release the meditation stretch. It's possible that you collect more karmic seeds for finding your own passion or getting back to 17 during that meditation than you do at the Starbucks. Got it? And that's what people don't appreciate, or they don't understand. Like, long as opposed to lay. Lay needs karma, taking them to Starbucks. But bare roots? Yeah. And then the meditations before and after are the fertilizer and the water, and they're what make the thing grow crazy. They grow like crazy. A lot of people come to me, I'm generally nice, I listen to people, but they don't know about those two meditations. So then there's one that you do afterwards, and we'll talk about that next. Okay, that'll be the fourth meditation. So we'll take a... It's getting late. I stop you at 11:30, right?
Yeah.
Supposed to. Let's take a 7-minute pee-pee break and change break. And then if the helpers, anybody's a DCI helper, okay? Try to arrange the mats the way you usually do, in a nice, orderly way. Okay, and we'll start the Nigumi Yoga in about 7 or 10 minutes. Okay? And we'll do half an hour.